for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Network Physical Therapy. Let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
And good evening and welcome, everyone, to another edition of PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9. And I guess the bad news, if we are doing this show, then the Pirates and the Engineers, the two teams we broadcast, are no longer in the baseball tournament.
Yeah, as unfortunate as that is for both teams, they actually had some high expectations, as we always do, regardless of kind of what the team is, especially when you get past the district and into the region. Always feel hopeful that, you know, some way, somehow, you're going to be able to put a run together and make a go of it. And as you mentioned, unfortunately, it not necessarily happened this year for the boys anyway.
Yeah, for baseball, came to an end on Monday night, and for Powell County baseball, came to an end on Monday, and for Estill County baseball, came to an end last night in the semifinals.
Yeah.
And then tonight is the finals. We'll kind of keep you, let you know how all those games unraveled in a moment. But first, we'll start out with the tournament that started first and will end last.
Which is bizarre in and of itself. But, well, you know,
we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we're not in charge of that.
No, but we maybe should be. I mean, I don't know. Somebody should be in better charge. It's just, I'll get into that in a minute when we talk about after the baseball, softball, where we are.
Well, let's do this. Let's actually start off with the district, since the district was, we didn't broadcast last week because of some of those games as far as the district. So the girls, softball, 56 district, Estill County ended up defeating Owsley County 9-1 in the opening round. And then in the second game of the night, the Powell County Lady Pirates defeated Lee County 8-6. That score was kind of interesting. The game was kind of interesting for that matter. Lee County kind of jumped out early on the Lady Pirates, and then the Lady Pirates managed to come back in the fifth inning, the bottom of the fifth, I believe, is when, you know, those runs ended up coming across. And
6-2 going into, no, it was, no, no 6-1. Right?
6-1, yeah. And then you ended up getting the five runs, tied it up.
6-2 was correct. So it was 6-2 going into the fifth inning, and it was the bottom of the fifth inning. Powell County, we scored six runs with two outs. And it's the second biggest comeback we've had in tournament play in my coaching history. Did that once in 2005 with a regional tournament. We scored seven runs with two outs to come back and win a regional tournament game to get to the championship game. But this was just a sweep. The six runs with two outs. We did have runners on base. On the regional tournament, we had nobody on base with two outs and still came back and won. But this one was pretty sweet for this group. Just six runs. There was a lot of things going on in the game. It was just kind of a weird game.
It was. Yeah. It was definitely different. It's kind of hard to even describe in many words, right?
Because, well, it was just a lot of things health-wise and some situations that happened during the game that were just kind of odd at best. And then, you know, I got started off on a bad foot because my interpretation of the rule was different than the officials. And we'd been using a flex player in the 10 spot, which was my relief pitcher. Used the flex player all year in my DP bats. And to be able to utilize the flex, then we go ahead and put the relief pitcher in the lineup. And if she comes in, the DP stays in the game as a hitter. And you are allowed to do that, but the officials would not allow us to do that. So I didn't get off to a good start on that during that game. But I was not in a good mood. And later went back and sent the rules or the interpretation that I had to all the officials that had the game. And at least I think we all understand now what we were all trying to do and communicate what we think is right.
Right.
So, and they got back with me and we were all fine. It's just, I think it wasn't a fuss moment. It was like, okay, here's how I interpret it. Help me out. And, it is what it is. Their interpretation was a little bit different than mine. I had never seen, I had that same argument last year when it was used this way against me. And then I was told by everybody that they were correct. So I had this, had the same argument the umpire used against me last year, and found that I was wrong. So had to do the same thing. But it is a probably one of the least common ways to do it in high school softball. There is no speed advantage. There is no whatever. But if you have a relief pitcher that doesn't hit often, then it's the best way to do it.
Well, and fortunately, right, you end up getting the win. And
yeah, we got
and
the win.
It kind of became a non-factor, even though it becomes frustrating in the moment.
And it
right?
was, for the most part, a non-factor most of the season. We utilized it to have it just in case we needed to make that change. And for the most part, Dessa Foster was good enough to where we didn't have to make that change most of the year and didn't go that way. But we had it where we could use that flex position. Everybody uses a little bit different. That's the difference between a flex and a DH. If you don't know what I'm talking about, like in baseball, use a DH. In softball, it's flex. We'll talk more about the DH rule when we talk about baseball in a moment, some things that happened there in that game. But it was, all in all, it was a great inning that we had in the fifth, bottom of the fifth. Just got a couple of key clutch hits when we needed them. And walks, errors, whatever it may be, we put the ball in play. Put the ball in play, yes. Things happen. So that's how we got to the six runs.
Yeah, and they made just enough fielding errors to keep things going for you all. And at that point, though, I was happy with the girls. To me, going back to, last year, the number of wins far exceeded that win total. To me, far exceeded even the win total this year, which, when you've got a group of five or six seniors, I can't remember which, but regardless, most of those are starters.
Yeah.
And the fact that they've kind of had some lean times and yet somehow managed collectively as the team to put things together to get some of those wins, for them to come back under those circumstances, being down 6-2, that was probably one of their better games. Really impressive.
I can't remember if it was 7 or 9 is the most wins this group of girls had experienced. They missed 1 year for COVID. But 7 or 9 was probably the best year they've experienced wins. And then 4 last year, 4 and 17, I think, last year. And then this year it was 16 and 17. So loss total stayed the same and the win total increased to 12. So it's not a skill wise. It wasn't a surprise, because I thought this team was good enough to do that. But for them, I was really happy that they could get a fairly successful season, get back to the regional tournament, at least participate, play a good district first round game. I hated the end of the season the way it was. We just had too many losses at the end. Cooled our bats off a little bit, and we just didn't have the confidence going into the tournament. But all in all, though, you look at the entire group body of work, I was really proud of the girls, the way they played this season. Their defense was highly improved over the last several years. Pitching improved. Still got some things we've got to work out pitching wise, but it improved quite a bit. And the hitting was really good early and cooled off to probably last year's standards at the end of the year.
Which is unfortunate, right? Yeah.
It was. And I think you're going to see the same thing. We'll talk about baseball in a moment. And you're going to see a similar picture with the way the baseball season wound up, I'll take a 16-17 win. I know it sounds weird, be just a game under 500, but where we were to where we finished, I was proud of our season.
Oh, impressive. And it's unfortunate as well. You had a couple of injuries throughout the season, and then as you mentioned, the bats kind of going a little bit cold early on. The girls were patient, getting good looks, making solid contact, getting some runs across. And then at some point, I'm going to throw the time frame out. It was almost like around spring break area, kind of.
I think, I would say more like prom.
I almost said that too. Yeah, prom.
The prom, and then after that, we got a little rain on some days where it gave us a couple of days off, and I knew what we had coming, so I gave a couple additional days off due to rain. And it probably bit us a little bit, that gap. We had probably a 5 or 6 days off, and shouldn't have happened because it wound up being in the middle of the week. We gave an extra day off, and we wound up getting days off because of rain, and then you just, now you miss five, and then now it's weekend, we don't practice, and you come back and you're rusty.
Yeah, you kind of lose that momentum as well, because at one point, I think you all had won like 4 out of 5 games or something, and then all of a sudden, spring break hits. Then you get into the weather issues and prom, and at that point, it's just kind of like, oh, everything just kind of went south, not really fairly quickly, but yet at the same time, like it kind of just...
Well, and you know, also, when you look at the schedule, the games we lost were games that we lost last year. There weren't many games on the schedule that were wins last year that were losses this year. I don't think hardly any. But the losses, we flipped some of those, and I don't think the bad losses we suffered last year were probably repeated this year. And some of the games we actually split with teams, and you know, I like that as a bonus. We played some different teams this year too, so that may have been a little bit of the factor. But I just think all in all, this team was much better than what they finished. Even with the pitching we saw at the regional tournament. I was really proud of our team. First round of region, we drew arguably the best team in the region. I'll just go ahead and skip there. Played Perry Central, first game of the tournament on Sunday, which we'll talk about that in a moment as well, and lost 7-2. And I know there was discussion at the tournament. I wasn't there, but I had it on speakerphone. Mr. Brewer had the speakerphone on for me so I could listen. And some of the coaches were talking about, well, if we can make this a quicker game, we'll get that second game started, and it'll happen before the baccalaureate happened at Letcher Central. So we tried to not accommodate, I guess. Played fairly well. We didn't get enough hits again. We got 4 hits, scored the 2 runs, but we allowed 7. And but if I had asked a bunch of people what the score was going to be at the end, I don't think I'd get many people telling them we're going to go 7 innings with Perry Central.
I would agree, and they just made some clutch hits at times.
They did.
One of the girls gets a home run. You
Pop
know,
up.
it was like number 6 or 7 hitter in the lineup, you know. I mean,
all credit her to hit it. I mean, but it didn't seem like it was going very far to me when it left the bat.
No, it didn't. But it's those kind of situations, right, that all of a sudden end up becoming costly.
Yeah.
And again, they just had some key hits at key moments. And go back to the bets, as far as you all couldn't necessarily, even though at times you would have a runner on the base, runners at second and third couldn't quite get them across consistently as needed, even so much down the stretch.
Well, we turned our lineup over too often. We had 7 walks. You can't walk 7 batters. You and I talked about it. Lead off batters that walk or get hit by a pitch. And their leadoff batter was hit in them on the very first pitch of the game.
Yes, very first.
And she winds up, they score 2 runs in the first. I think the second inning they score. I think there's a leadoff walk and then followed by a hit, and then they score. So when you lead off innings with walks or hit batsmen or errors, any of the three, you're probably going to lose that run. And when we're only putting 2 on the board, we can't lose 3. It's just a math thing.
Right. And know? Again, that's unfortunate the way it happened. But you go into that regional opening round Sunday, difficult circumstances, in addition to a 2-hour drive on a bus to get to Letcher County Central. And I get that there's a rotation within the region, but man, that's a long time to be on a school bus and expect to get off and come out and start playing.
We left, I thought, at a good time at 9:45. We're trying to leave. We had a player late, so we waited on the player to get there, and then it was about a 10 minutes difference. And looking back, I wish I'd left at 9:30 to give us a few more minutes to get loosened up. Not that we didn't get loose. I'm not saying that. We had plenty of time to do what we needed to do, but it did cut our warm-up time down a little. So I wish I would have got there a little bit sooner. We didn't even stop for bathroom break on the way up there. So normally we like to stop once, let them get out and stretch your legs, cut the break in half or the trip in half, and that way you're not so rushed getting there and feel like you have to hurry up and warm up. But so I wish I would have gone at least 15 minutes earlier to get a little extra time. But I thought our kids, and they gave me all they had, every game they played. You know, and it's a great facility there at Letcher Central. It's just a long drive. It's just, I think in Eastern Kentucky, I don't know if there's a better one. Maybe a turf field, if they call a turf field better out, maybe. But that field's got everything. You've got good stands. You've got good bleachers. You've got both sides has warm-up areas. They got the nice press box with concession stand. I mean, I could go all day on their facility.
Really nice.
It's truly nice. And got an outer pavilion we use after the game for a pizza that they provided for us. And, you know, parking may be the only issue, but really it's not. It's just you got to walk a bunch of steps to get there.
Right.
They let you sit all the way around the field. If you want to set up a tent, you can sit outside the fence. So
outfield?
Yeah, it's just really, it's well manicured.
Yeah.
I wish, to me, if you had a site that was central like that, you'd play there every year. That's just what you do.
Yeah, based on the facilities alone.
Yes.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And again, it's unfortunate. You had to play on a Sunday. We've talked about that as well. Wish that wasn't necessarily an option. I get them trying to
we'll
squeeze
more.
In. them trying to, you know, squeeze in those kind of things. But while we're kind of even at it, though, just real quick, as far as like your team, those seniors on your team, Hannah Angel, you have Cheyenne Gearhart, Chloe Grader, right here, I don't want to miss anybody, Desi Plavnik, Carly Rogers, and Alyssa Tharp.
Yeah.
Good players, solid players, you know, some of them infield, outfield, you know, diverse group.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, as you said, much improved defensively. A couple of plays, you know, at the plate, you know, saving some runs, good catches in the outfield, good plays in the infield, making your throws. I mean, again, solid performance all across the board, really, in many respects for your team.
Yeah, the error count was significantly down from last year, and we played more games. So the error count was down. We still made a couple of those outfield errors that we have made in the past, and not on necessarily catchable balls, but on balls that are hits. They get bys.
Grounders,
Or just a little bobble. Those still hurt a little bit, but, you know, we got to clean that up more. But the infield play, the overall infield play, we didn't make a ton of mistakes this year. And I think that's the difference between 4-17 and 16-17, or as big of a difference as you could get.
Sure.
You know, there for a while, early in the season that you're talking about, you know, we were averaging 10, 11 runs a game. We were averaging 12, 13 hits a game. So we were hitting the ball pretty good early, and that lasted for a while. And then I'm not saying the pitchers caught up with us, but we faced some tougher pitching down the stretch, and maybe I didn't mix it up well enough during the season. But, you know, and then at times you think, well, you see this pitcher today throwing 40 and this pitcher tomorrow throwing 55, and that's our fault for scheduling that way. Maybe we'll get a little progression in there next time or work on the schedule a little bit.
Well, it's even hard to determine who you might even face on the mound, depending on the pitching staff of your opponent's teams. You know, sometimes, obviously in softball, you've only got one, two, maybe three, if you're lucky, pitchers you can put in. Most of the time, there's usually just one, more than two.
Most teams have four kids that might be able to throw if you in a bench, but most people have got one or two people they go to.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's not a good thing. I think eventually the KHSA will implement similar rules to softball as what's in baseball, which is a pitch limit or an inning limit. I do think that's something that's probably coming. I don't think it's going to be in the next couple of years, but I think eventually it'll get there. This game has grown so much. The game of softball, you know, we went to where you never saw a pitcher throw 55 or 60. Now we're seeing it common. Not only that, we're seeing almost every pitcher we face has a curveball and a drop ball and a rise ball. And it's like, man, we've really grown, you know. And before it had an arc on it, everybody's trying to figure this game out. And,
right.
And now the game has gotten to be pretty good.
Well, and obviously, and you and I have talked about this time and again, it takes so much time for girls to develop their pitching. It's a lot more difficult. Yeah. In girls' fast pitch softball than it is in boys' baseball, in my opinion.
If you haven't started fast pitch pitching, by the age of probably 8 or 9, you're probably not going to develop it good enough.
And at that point, it becomes more and more difficult. Yeah. As a sidebar, we had an inflatable day up at school. One of the things was like a setup where, like, there's a batter with the plastic, you know what I'm saying? You're trying to throw, you know, and they had softballs. And so a couple of the girls, fifth graders, were out there, you know, throwing it underhanded, fast pitch, whatever else. So the boys were like, well, I can do that. No, the boys were all over the place. And, of course, their regular overhand baseball players or whatever else couldn't figure it out. Couldn't figure it out, that underhand trying to come through or whatever else. And it is difficult when you're trying to go used to throwing it over. Now you're going under, different release, because obviously the ball's coming off differently.
I heard this explained by John Combs back when he was the head coach, right before me. Some kids were asking him about the difference between baseball and softball. And one of the things I would ask him is, what do you tell pitchers? From you being a baseball pitcher, and what are you telling these kids is different from a softball perspective? And all he would tell them would, everything is backwards.
Good point.
Than what you learned.
Yeah.
You know, baseball, you want to bend on the finish over here. Softball, you're straight up on the finish and a finish up top. And, you know, the wrist snap and all that's, but it's exactly in the opposite position. So it really is, everything is backwards. It's just mechanically, it's all reverse it, and you've got a pretty similar situation. But to do that in your head, to teach it, that's a simplified version, by the way. That's sure. Not the complex version, but that is the simplified version. What you know he used to say, which I get that, but now these kids have got the spin on the ball, where the spin, I guess, obviously the spin's the same as far as throwing a baseball, getting spin, throwing a softball, getting spin. A lot of that's the same, but the finish points are different. And that's where it gets a little bit more complicated as far as the old-fashioned baseball folks coming in to work with softball kids.
Yeah, it definitely makes it difficult. And as you said, you know, if you're not starting early with that. And
it's expensive.
Sure.
Most lessons are about $40. For even $25 a half hour to $40 to $60 an hour, and then you probably got to drive an hour and a half to get to an instructor. They are around now. If your kid wants to learn pitching and wants to learn it at a higher level, go find somebody. There's a lot of people to choose from out there. You know, if your young kid wants to become a really good pitcher, I'm not saying our people around here can't help. They can. But really, most of the pitchers we see today have instructors somewhere else. Their coaches usually aren't their instructors.
Right. And again, you have to be able to start young, but who as an 8, 9, 10 year old thinks that's the position I want to play? Some kids fall right into it because they know, like, that's what I want to be.
If you're a competitor, if you are someone who wants to win and you want all the pressure, go pitch.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And
And even as far as pressure, I'm going to throw a little sidebar in there. Dessa Foster had a shot right back to her in that regional game or whatever else. Made the catch. It may have been more reactive, and obviously she was almost shocked that she made the catch, but yet she put that glove down in the right spot, and it almost just went right into it before she realized that she had made the catch.
There were two plays for us that were like that. Alyssa Tharp had one at third.
Yes.
And then the one you talk about with Dessa. Dessa's ball probably, I'm not going to say it was harder. She's a little further. She's a little closer than
sure,
Alyssa, maybe.
Right. Right up the middle.
But, man, yeah. Where she puts her glove as far as when she finishes, where she has it, that's where the ball went.
Right.
It wasn't like I put my glove to catch it. No, it went in the glove. So
it wasn't even reactive or anything because there was no time to react.
No.
It literally came off. It was that hard. Literally, it was there in a split second. All of a sudden, her glove, right place, right time. And I don't even know if she even squeezed it and even kept it in there. It's almost like it literally just was hit so hard, it just like stuck in there. Kind of reminds me of one of the golf swings. You know, we've seen if you watch the golf tournament, you know, this past week or whatever.
I was playing softball.
Well, okay, go ahead. I caught a little bit of it anyway in the sand trap, right, trying to get out of the sand trap. Goes right into the side, into the grass. And it's kind of the same.
Leader.
Yeah, exactly. But it kind of reminded me of the same thing. Again, it's just hit right there, glove, right place, right time, just landed right in there. And, yeah, you know, they make the catch.
You know, people talk about softball all the time. It's not nearly the game as baseball. And that has to come from people who never see a softball game. Because, man, the fielders can't make any mistakes. One bobble, they're safe at first. One bobble in the outfield, they're safe at second.
You're so much closer to the action as far as the infield, 60-foot right?
bases. These kids can run. These kids are very athletic. The game, and my dad used to tell me this when I was younger. He played some fast-pitch softball, and he played baseball. He was pretty good at both. And he said fast-pitch softball was the most fun game he ever played, bar none. And, you know, for him to tell me that even before we started this run of coaching softball, I think I started coaching 2 years after his death. So, you know, this was just discussions we had.
Right.
So I just think that I wish people would get out and enjoy fast pitch softball like I have learned to love. It's almost difficult to watch baseball. It really is. It's, you see the double clutches in the infield on the fielders. You double clutch in softball, you're safe.
You
don't have that kind of time.
Right.
And, I know the field's bigger and you've got more places to run and to cover, but they're closer to you. And this game is, I'm telling you, just come out and watch some softball games and you'll learn a new respect for these kids that play.
Agree, because you are on a compact field, and that ball, I mean, they talk about third base being a hot spot. Again, come watch a fast pitch softball game.
Every spot's a hot spot, right?
Every one of them. You're exactly right, because it's on you in no time. And you don't realize like how quick that ball comes off of that bat. And as you mentioned, like you bobble it or anything, you're just about safe at first almost every time.
Yeah, I think there was a bobble the other night. I think at the baseball game, right? There's bobble. There's no way they get that guy. I'm thinking, got him easy. I'm thinking, wait a minute. It was against us.
Yeah, correct.
I think L.W. Napier was the runner and hit one third baseman, bobbled once, and picked up slowly. I'm thinking, L.W.'s going to beat this out. He fires the first. Gets him by 4 feet. Wasn't even a close play. So that's the difference in the game. Truly, it's a game where I wish more people supported, more people played, and most of our baseball folks, I wish they would kind of understand it, because I'm not sure they do. You know, if you've got sons that play baseball, then you never even get to watch a softball game. But if you get a daughter, and Frank's going to see this in a few years, he may have a daughter play softball, and his love of the game may switch from baseball to softball. I don't know.
And it is entertaining. It's a lot more faster paced.
I didn't think
well.
I would like it when I first went over to softball. Then I went back to baseball, and I'm thinking, I made a bad decision. That game was really a lot of fun.
Right.
And it was not easier. It's just different. You know, it's just, I don't know. I don't regret not coaching baseball for a career. I would have regretted, I think, not coaching softball.
Well, and that's just even the speed of the game. You get through those 7 innings a lot faster in many respects, right? There's not a lot of wasted time in between innings. You know, everybody's getting right back out on the field. We're going to throw it a couple of times, ready to go. Yeah. Let's move on. In softball,
they always push the girls to hurry up so we get it over with. So that's just a normal thing for the girls.
Right.
It's not something that, when they started doing that, it wasn't something for was it a good thing? They just want to hurry up and get them finished.
Maybe MLB should take a look.
Well, I mean, I'm serious though. When you, like, if you played a game with a girls game, you had a timer. So you got to hurry up and get it in. And everybody rushes.
It's right.
One or two pitches, you're done. You don't warm up much. In baseball, you just take your time getting back out there. You get your 6 pitches. You're ready to go on to the next inning. But you take your time.
Right.
In softball, you're in a rush. I'm telling you, it wasn't meant as a good thing. It was always done to help the girls out. They're a little bit slower. Make them speed up. No, they're pretty good at what they do. And now you see the games lengthen a little bit just because of the offense. But even our 7-2 game with Perry, hour and 44 minutes, I think at the most. So we still played in a little over an hour and a half.
Right.
And it was a pretty competitive game in the regional tournament. It's, you know, a 7-2 game in baseball would probably take you 2 hours and a half to play the same game.
Agreed. And for whatever reason, again, it seems like it takes longer in baseball. A lot of players in the box, out of the box. Pitchers off the rubber, back on the mound. You know what I'm saying? It's just like a constant, I don't know. I feel like that, not that it's head games that you're trying to play, right? But at the same time, everybody's trying to slow the game down in baseball.
But I will say this, though. I do think the coaches are keeping the game moving better than what they used to.
Oh, I would agree.
So,
sure.
I think it has cut a little time off a regular baseball game. And, you know, like I said, we've said this before. When I go to Great American Ballpark to watch Reds play, I don't care how long it takes. If I'm watching a game on TV, I hurry up and get this thing over with.
True.
Seems
exactly
like it's
right.
Forever.
Right.
But
especially with the commercial breaks. And
yeah, I mean, you're paying, you know, upwards of, if you take a family of four, the Great American Ballpark is going to cost you $200, and you hope the game goes 3 hours.
Right.
Because if not,
like
it's an
get
hour.
Your money's worth.
Yeah, it's a 2-hour and 10-minute game. That's quick in Major League Baseball. It's 9 innings too. You know, you've almost seemed like you spent $300 for a very short period of time.
And in some ways, you kind of have.
Yes.
Yeah,
you go see a Louisville Bats game, just as entertaining. As far as baseball is concerned, maybe better if you're the Reds fans because they got a lot of great, good, really good kids at Louisville. You go watch that game for a sixth of the cost.
Oh yeah,
four
across
people
across the board.
More than $75.
Tickets, food,
everything,
yeah, all the
parking,
above.
Everything.
Yeah.
No more than $75 for four.
Right.
You can't do that in the major league setting. So, you know, come out and watch some high school games. Only $5. I mean, watch baseball games. Only $5. These kids are working hard and doing what they do, regardless of the sport they play. We just got to get out and support more than what I see. I know gas is expensive going to Electric Central or Electric Central coming here, whatever that may be. But we got to do a better job of supporting. And I would like to thank, not as a broadcaster, but as a coach and as someone who cares about the kids, I'd like to thank Ethan because what he does here at WSKV, he gives up not only his time, which we've told him before, stop doing that.
Yeah, quit doing free stuff.
Quit doing free
stuff.
I'm
sorry, we're...
And it usually goes in the hole a little bit on sports. So I don't think people understand how much that man works.
For the community.
For the community.
Not only ours, but the surrounding communities.
To get the games set up. Like, we were tearing down the other day what he had set up. It took us almost an hour to tear down what he probably got up in 30 to 45 minutes, three times.
Yeah.
On, was it the Monday night?
Monday, yeah.
I mean, he set up, you know, he set up three different programs on Monday night. The wiring, everything that goes in, two cameras. And I'm telling you, it's a lot of work. And I think the community owes him some more support. So next year when they hit you for athletics and the sports package, man, help him out because we need more sponsors and he needs to not go in the hole. And with the production that he's doing with the Pal Estes both coverage, man, it's a lot. And then when we go to the tournament, everybody kept asking us, are you going to cover our game? Are you going to cover our game? And I'm thinking, dude, if you all would contact Ethan earlier, I'm sure he would, but you got to come up with some money to,
right,
to help him out. Cause he can't do it for free. Cause he's, I think what it cost him per game, about $250, just in
to broadcast
license fee.
Yeah, yeah.
To broadcast for the district and for the regional tournament, and that doesn't cover
additional
costs like for
gas,
the broadcasters and the gas and studio people, camera people. It takes four people to run one game. So
when it used to just take two,
you're right.
Prior,
right.
Right, prior to us doing Facebook Live, prior to us needing someone in the studio, again, it was just one. Sometimes a one-man show, sometimes a two-man show.
Yep.
David and I going, setting up. We're just dialing in and good to go, and now it does. It takes a lot more.
If you like the production that Ethan provides here at WSKV with the sports, you guys go up and round up some money to help him cover it, because he doesn't get it covered. And I wish he did. I mean,
he does so much for free. And I will say this as well, even things that are within the community. And I get that sometimes they're community fundraisers and he doesn't care to help, because if there's a giving man, Ethan Moore is that guy in this community that will go above and beyond. But sometimes he does things when there are people who have the money to pay him for his time and his services.
And he doesn't ask.
And he doesn't ask, and he's not going to. And again, he'd probably get mad at us for even mentioning this. I know he would. But at the same time, if you're asking him to come to your school, to your community event, and you have money looking for somebody to do sound or music or whatever it is, throw him something for his time. I don't care if it's $50. At least a tip. Something in order to help him, because, again, he is running all over the place to try and help out collectively the communities in this, you know, service area for him. Again, he'll go to Beattyville. He'll go to Estill. He'll go to Powell. He'll go to Letcher if he had it to.
Ever
who calls him, yes. But, again, if you have an opportunity and you're having an event, some kind of tip or something would be – I don't care if it's a gift card to one of the local restaurants or something. And just, here, appreciate your time, man. Here, take your wife out. Exactly. Take your wife out to eat dinner sometime. And, obviously, she's in for this, too, with his time being gone. And they don't necessarily have a whole lot of time when all this is happening as well. Yeah, he'd be upset with us for saying this. But
again, big thank you to Ethan and the staff 100%. Here at WSKV. I know we're staff. It kind of, I'm not thanking myself, but man, without Ethan and the other rest of the staff here, this don't happen. So,
and our sponsors.
Thank you.
We couldn't do it without the sponsors. We need more of them. We've said this time and time again. Again, if you go to those businesses who help sponsor the Powell County Sports Network and the broadcast, thank those sponsors and let them know that you appreciate them being a part of this in order for you to sit in your home and listen to it on the radio or listen to it on Facebook Live or even the NFHS app.
Yeah, we'd probably figure out the minutes that we give you for the money that they pay. And
you're not going to find a better marketing.
It's probably the cheapest advertising dollar you ever
had.
That's
a fact. So I've done the numbers, and trust me.
He gets very little for the minutes.
Right.
So. But anyway, we're going to take a couple breaks here, talk about baseball when we come back here on PCSN Live.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Powell County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing costs. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
Count on Clark Regional Medical Center for quality health care close to home. It's why we're here, providing compassionate, personalized care whenever you may need it, so you, your family, and our community can all thrive. Because no matter where you are in life, nothing is more important than your health. Clark Regional Medical Center, from the routine to the unforeseen. Count on us. Learn more at clarkregional.org.
Since opening in 1972, Citizens Guarantee Bank has been there to help our customers enhance their lives and achieve their dreams. With 7 locations across Central and Eastern Kentucky today, we are celebrating 50 years of being there for the communities we call home. Citizens Guarantee Bank is now CG Bank. New name, same commitment to being there for our neighbors. CG Bank, we've been there for that. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvin.
Welcome back. We're going to change gears a little bit here. We'll talk about Powell County baseball. Powell County baseball, again, winner of the tournament, being the winners due to a coin flip in district play. Both Powell and Estill were tied, both 1-1. And wound up in a tie, and Powell County won a coin flip on the one seed. Went on later and defeated Lee County. Congratulations to Kane Knox. He pitched a 5-inning no-hitter, 14 strikeouts. It was an amazing
14 out of 17 batters.
Yeah, it was an amazing performance, and yeah. 14 out of 15 outs.
Correct.
The
yes.
only the one out recorded on the ground ball, I think the second base.
Two errors. They had two errors. They got Powell runners
had two
on.
Errors, yeah. yeah. So, Kane pitched a phenomenal game in the first round of the district. Game two versus Estill in the championship game. Estill obviously beat Owsley 15-0 in three innings or four innings. And then Powell met Estill for the third time.
Championship.
And Estill came out on top of that one.
3-2 was the final. And actually the Pirates had won the prior year as far as being the winner. And this time Estill just had their number again. The Pirates came up empty at times. At times couldn't advance runners, get runners across the plate, and then other times had runners in position and couldn't get base hits, you know.
Well, it's just been the kind of the tone of the last couple of years, really, for Frank and the Pirates has just had decent enough pitching, or good enough pitching, not decent enough, good enough pitching to win games, but not enough offense.
Yeah, when the bats are silent, that's unfortunate. And I think especially after last year getting to the championship and the regional tournament, thinking, okay, we're basically returning the same bulk of the team, thinking higher expectations, right? Why wouldn't you? And then at that point, they just kind of just faltered.
Well, but the flip side of it, the one game we did play against Letcher, who was pretty good. Their two pitches they threw were both pretty good. If you look at, I think there were five hits Monday night for the Pirates, right? They only got four in the entire district tournament, regional tournament last year.
Correct. Unfortunately.
So one game we get more hits than we got the entire regional tournament last year.
To get to the finals.
To get to the finals.
Yeah. And this year, again, just didn't quite have it.
Well,
credit
I think we faced,
credit the pitching, too. You know?
I think we faced better pitching with better defense against Fletcher.
They started off with a lefty.
They didn't make any mistakes.
Yeah.
Solid and hit the ball, the first five hit the ball really well.
I mean, the first batter came up and got a triple.
Yes.
Lead off triple, you know.
It didn't get any better from there. I mean, and if you know Brian Dean, you know he's going to bunt. And he did.
Like two or three times in a row.
Yeah. And when he's going to play, he plays a lot of small ball. That's how Brian, that's how he works. You got to, you know, you got to expect it. That's his MO. There's always a good bunting team. Always going to move runners over. Try to get him in, try to score one or two runs at a time. And that's the way he's always operated. And it's solid. It works. It's still baseball that works.
Sure.
So, you know, kudos to Coach Dean and Letcher Central for the win. But you feel bad for the Pirates when they're coming off a, quote, regional tournament and just don't get it done this year. As far as your goal in Powell County and Estill County is real similar. This district is not difficult to get out of in baseball. But when you get to regional play, there are some tough opponents out there. And this year, They maybe both met their match because Estill County won game one over
Hazard.
No, not.
No, that was Wolf over Hazard.
I think Estill beat Knott.
Yeah, Estill did beat Knott, yes.
And
yeah,
then,
and it was Wolf over Hazard.
And then Wolf upset Hazard in our bracket, but it was Letcher over Powell. And then the bottom bracket other game was Breathitt.
And Perry.
And Perry. Breathitt beat Perry in a close game.
Yeah, 5-4, I think.
And then Breathitt wound up just throttling Estill last night.
17-2.
Ouch.
That's hard.
So both 56 district teams, Ken, 17-2-6, 10-0-5, both teams eliminated by Mercy rules. Maybe there was a bigger gap in the region than we thought with pitching. But I do think the pitching was a dominant factor. I think the pitching up that way is better than what we see here at Powell or Estill with the good arms. Yes. I think we defeated Perry a couple of times and faced one of the races. We didn't defeat Hazard, I don't think.
No, we lost them actually early on.
How did we play with Breathitt County this year?
Let me look back here.
And we didn't get to play Wolf. So
we lost to Hazard 4-2 early on in the season. We didn't play Breathitt. Yeah, we did one time. Yeah, 3-2 in that one.
So it's close.
And then lost to Hazard 4-3. So we beat Hazard early on, then turned around and lost to them, and then defeated Perry Central twice during the regular season.
So a little bit of a, you know, but the scores indicate a little bit different than I think the pitchers. And then toward the end of the season, Powell County was down two arms. Well, most of the season they were down one arm, but at the end of the season they were down another arm and really only had three of their key starters, which would be Nickel, Begley, and Knox. And then Napier was their go-to next guy, he or Del Rosario. So they had enough pitching maybe to get there, but it had dwindled down from where the original big three.
Regardless of pitching, which in many respects was pretty solid, you know, throughout the season.
If
you can't hit,
don't matter.
It does not matter. Again, you could, and thus the 1-point games. You know, a couple weeks ago we had Derek Robinson, yeah. The middle school baseball coach, came in, and he'd done some, you know, statistics or whatever. The Pirates were 3-10 in one run games. You can't go 3-10. You have to find a way somehow to turn those around and get those wins.
Your 3-10 games probably came against decent opponents who had good pitching.
Sure.
And your hitting was definitely down that day. And I just think that, and I would think like the two sports, I'm talking about baseball and softball, if we extrapolated our numbers against quality pitchers, we're probably going to see something real similar. We're going to see low batting averages, low production, and not get the job done against better quality pitching. I think that's kind of the key. It's hard to simulate better than what you have.
Sure.
You just got to go work on your approach and things like that, but or play small ball, whatever you have to do to win. But it looks like that the region had enough arms to hold down Powell County and Estill County this year, and what we had to go against them. Like I said, I didn't see the Breathitt County game. Or the Estill County game, I was listening to some of it. By the time I got to it, it was already, they had already scored their, I think, 10 runs in the first or early on, and that game was already over before it even really got started.
I think it would be interesting to see, talking about the boys' offense, what their batting averages were against quality pitching and what they were, not that there's not quality pitching on some of those.
Pitching.
Oh, perfect. Where you're winning 17-0, 15-0, yeah. You know, 10-0.
Yeah. It's more about how you're doing against the ones and twos than you are the threes and fours.
Correct, because easily, you know, I can go 3-for-3 with a subpar pitcher, and all of a sudden I get a quality pitcher, and I'm going 0-for-4.
What are those numbers.
Correct. Yeah, and at that point, maybe our batting average is a lot less. Obviously, it would be based on quality pitching.
Your average is what it is when you finish out.
Sure, of course.
But you don't see, like, you know, some teams will put up a, this kid's batting 600. Well, I mean, I just don't think a ton of kids bat 600. We saw one last night for Letcher that I think his numbers was right
459.
At. That's pretty good mark.
Yeah.
But he showed that he had a really good eye at the plate.
He
had a good idea of what's going on. He didn't care to go the other way. I think that's part of the key. I think that the willingness to go with a pitch, hit it to right field, drive it there. I think we got some kids on our team that, and I'll say this for mine. I know I've got two or three kids that want to pull it every time. And I will tell them, even in practice, I can get you out easy if you continue your approach. But if you want to keep your approach, you're going to make more outs than others. I think the same thing goes for baseball. I think we got a lot of kids that want to pull. I'm not knocking pulling the ball, but I do think that you have more gaps when you do. You see it in Major League Baseball, these guys pulling for home runs, and they're striking out a third of the time. I'd rather go back to see a guy pound it the opposite field. That's just, if they're throwing you away, hit it away. Throwing you down the middle, hit it up the middle. If they're throwing you inside, pull it.
Well, even with the shift, right? Because at that point, I'm pulling it, and if you got the shift on your second baseman is behind second base, well, at that point, again, let's just follow it and see if we can't get it to right field.
You know, and that's just me as an outsider looking in. I don't know what Frank goes over in practice. I'm not privy to that information. But to me, that's kind of what I think I see is I see guys taking big grips trying to pull the ball, and you wind up hitting, all you're going to do is hit a weak ground ball or pop it up somewhere. So those two are both not productive outs. So
well, in many respects as well, you have to realize that our hitting collectively as a team has to improve going forward, going into next season. And we basically have the same group coming back.
Well, now we lose some good personnel though this year. We lose
absolutely,
some good players.
Of course, yes,
we do.
That's a fact.
And you know, baseball is going to. I think softball is going to take a bigger hit than baseball. Because baseball's got some guys that are coming up that are able to fill some of those spots. But baseball's got some big holes, too, to fill.
They do.
With
that,
the Corbin
Thacker,
sure. With the Luke Hood, with Hagner, which they didn't have most of the season anyway due to an injury. But, you know, Devin Young, who played a really good outfield for his career here at Powell County, I know I believe some seniors out.
Well, Luke, you have Luke Hood behind the plate. Then you also have where am I at? Ethan King.
EK, yeah.
And then you have Corbin Thacker. And the last one would be Devin Young.
Yeah. So I guess I got most of them in there. But those guys would miss, but I think a lot of those guys are going to be replaced. What's coming up? Palco's got a good feeder program. All these kids involved travel ball. Just hope they can continue to stay out. A lot of those guys didn't get any playing time this year, so it's frustrating. So I know some of the parents are upset because maybe theirs didn't get play enough. Well, maybe next year's their opportunity. But to me, you got to go show it every day in practice. You got to open some eyes of your coaches and hope things change. You know, it's just, that's just what you got to hope for. But you got to work your butt off to get there.
Yeah, and who knows as far as kids not coming back to play.
Correct.
Kids' injuries. I mean, and it's true with every sport. Doesn't matter what the sport is. For some reason, you know, you always have kids that you expect to come out and play for some reason or another.
Or, you know,
choose not to.
If somebody likes a certain kid on your team, maybe got a buddy on another team that says, okay, why don't you go over here and play with us and see if we make some better things happen.
Yeah, sure. And or you think, well, I'm not getting in front of this particular kid, therefore I'm not going to be playing.
So the parents just go over here and play.
Right, I'm out. So therefore, again, you kind of lose players in situations like that. But, again, bulk of the team coming back, not that you don't lose quality players, but at the same time, a bulk of the team coming back next year. Again, I thought this would kind of be one of those years that, you know, they would make another run.
Well, we said last year they were 2 years ahead. Last year, this is 1 year ahead. Next year, and the next probably four, they're in their window, where if they don't win, now it becomes a problem.
Quite a few juniors on this team, though. You know, at that point,
next year is going to be difficult.
Next year, right? You know,
because when you look at the other rosters, they're losing players. A lot of these pitchers that you saw this year, same ones are back next year.
Correct. So hopefully you're working in the off season
and developing
summer ball,
yep,
whatever, in order to find out potentially what maybe didn't work for you. Maybe you weren't seeing the ball well. Maybe you were swinging at pitches out of the strike zone. Again, just a little bit more focus to get those batting averages up and somehow to be able to manufacture runs. And this has happened throughout the season. The Pirates, similar to what your team had at times, you've got runners in scoring position, and you can't manufacture those runs. And that, and that's difficult. And that falls on, you know, all the players
in
the lineup.
I think, too, though, it becomes, you know, maybe we're doing something wrong as coaches and not getting – if we can't get through to the kid to change, maybe we just need to make a change.
Well, we've talked about this as well. I'm not a fan of coach pitch. I don't like it. Somebody invest in a pitching machine and put it out there. Instead, dads, coaches, are trying to coach pitch to these kids. They've only got so many pitches. They're swinging at pitches, not in the strike zone because you've only got so many pitches coming. We're teaching bad habits, and that could be said go true even in basketball. It's unfortunate.
It is, but now we've got the baseball championship game coming up tonight. Will be Letcher Central versus Breathitt. That, again, at Perry Central. Going on maybe right now as we speak.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. And then Letcher County hosts softball, and it will be tomorrow night. It will be Letcher versus Estill, right? Yeah, Letcher versus Estill. Perry versus Wolf. And the Perry Wolf game will be the first game. But that should be interesting. Two interesting games tomorrow night at Letcher Central. So the softball tournament this year, any of those four teams can win. And it'll be interesting to see who comes out of that one.
And it's unfortunate that it is so far away. The girls, not so, you know, far enough.
Well,
that, you know, as far as the hazard. But,
I would love
Perry
to go
Central
watch tomorrow night's games.
Right.
But I don't know if I'm going to drive 4 hours total to watch.
I'm going to have to go back to work on Friday.
Be difficult.
But definitely anyway, difficult.
We'll step away for another break here. Come back with more here on PCSN Live in a moment.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton. Proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Your Stanton Dairy Queen Grill and Chill is the stop on the way to the game. Double cheeseburgers, chicken baskets, blizzards, sundaes, and so much more. Cold ale late on tap. The legendary biscuits and gravy served all day, and ice cream cakes for any occasion or just for dessert. Open Monday through Thursday, 5:30 in the morning to 10 p.m., Friday and Saturday, 5:30 a.m. to 11 at night, and on Sundays, 7 to 10. That's your Stanton Dairy Queen Grill and Chill. Fan food, not fast food.
Stanton DQ is looking for smiling faces to join their team. Apply in person today.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events, in their academics, at home, or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more, remember your Ace Hardware right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
At Wells Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. One such opportunity is the funeral or memorial service. Such a loving event celebrates the choices they made, the relationship you shared, and honors the memory of your loved one. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event. Contact us today to discuss the possibilities. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live. What I can't talk, but welcome back here to the show. We will have one more broadcast for you this season. We'll come out and wrap up who won the 14th Region championship, set up the state tournament for those teams. It doesn't start until June the 1st, I believe, for baseball and softball. And, again, those are the start dates. So it'll start toward the end of the week, next Thursday, I believe.
Yes, that's correct. And so, what we'll do next week as well is we'll go back and recap
everybody's season, right?
Yes, and a lot of success. There's been a lot of success this particular school year for a lot of the different programs, and we'll go back and recap all of that.
And to me, qualifying for the regional tournament is part of that success. And I tell you what, we've done really well. We had a group of girls. I don't know if we mentioned this or not. Did we mention this last week?
What's that?
They qualified for the nationals or the second.
No, we did not. We were actually at one point we were going to try and have them, and then we ended up having the ball game.
So we had the Bass team had two girls to finish second. They will go now on second in the state, right?
Correct.
So they have advanced to nationals. So congratulations.
We'll get that for next week. How about that? Yeah, we'll reach out to the coach. Yeah.
Yep. But congratulations, girls. I'll tell you again. I think I told you at school. So we'll tell you again next week here on the show. And our track team, I think, ran their meet last week as well and had a couple thirds, but nobody qualified, I don't think, for state tournament. So, but again, some good runs and good throws, whatever the field events are as well. So they have wrapped up their season. So everything now at the high school is a wrap, except
graduation.
End of school.
Right, yeah. Graduation and ceremonies right around the corner. And I will say this too, though, that, you know, the softball and baseball seasons, very entertaining. A lot of great games that I was able to watch, be a part of. I've enjoyed, you know, both the boys and the girls' side of it. Wish the weather would have cooperated at times, you know, a little bit more, whether it was cold or whether it was rainy otherwise.
It was
nice
the last week of the season.
Yeah, yeah. But had some difficult broadcasts there for a while. But, again, entertaining. Tip of the cap to the coaching staff as well as the players, especially those seniors, for giving us that opportunity to enjoying watching them play the sports that they love.
And again, I'll say this again, thanks to our crew here at WSKV.
And our sponsors.
And our sponsors, Ken, whoever covered this spring with him, and whoever was on the cameras for each event.
Josh Nolan, Ethan Moore, we had Nevaeh Bridgman in the studio.
Caitlin with us the
Caitlin
other night.
Caitlin Powell.
Back from college.
Yeah, exactly. Angie Gable.
Whoever.
Jimmy Craze.
Whoever they need.
Correct. Yes, you're exactly right. Yeah, whoever we kind of need. But
and also the Instagram crews as well. I'm sure they're finished as well now. So it's again they did a good job with their crew as well. So
and again, please reach out to Ethan Moore and let him know how much you appreciate what WSKV does, not only for our community but the surrounding areas. And again, if you're interested in being a sponsor for the Powell County Sports Network coverage going into next year, it won't be long, and he'll be making those phone calls, but make those phone calls yourself. Again, you're not going to find a better opportunity to get more bang for your buck.
You also get Wednesday throw-ins.
Yeah, that's true, too.
TCSN Live.
Yes, you're exactly right. Appreciate everybody.
Another added little bit that you get with your money at WSKV. So, again, thanks for listening to us. Hope you're with us next week. For Ken Seibel, this is Dave Falter. Say good night from PCSN Live.
Pickup Country, WSKV 104.9.